This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Just want to do things my own way, you know.
So you can't walk inside my house, so you can't lie upon
Bands,
my
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all fans worldwide, wherever you may be, huddled over your laptop, listening to us on your listening device, after downloading eagerly the latest episode of the podcast. Well, here comes the new one right here for you. Phil here at Trinidad World Recording Studios in Fort Worth, Texas, my beautiful studio here. Come record at Trinidad. Phil at philpritchett.com. Say, Phil, trying to record. Tell me what to do. Tell me what's up. So many ways to do it. Been very busy this year so far. A lot of people recording here at the studio, having a great time. Look for that new Rodney Parker EP I did. Rodney and myself doing 5 REM songs. The inaugural EP of a forthcoming series from Trinidad World Recording, the Trinidad Tributes. So me and Rodney doing 5 REM songs. It's on CD, baby. You can go to the website, philpritchett.com, and get the link there. And then it'll be on iTunes here in the next, I don't know, day or two or next week or something like that. It's hard to predict when it gets up on iTunes. So if you want to wait for that, feel free. But rest assured, new music coming your way. I got a great text message from man, Seth Jones, who recorded here a couple of times, done a couple of really good records here. He's a younger guy, and his text was like, I look forward to hearing the REM EP to give that music a chance, which I previously dismissed, or something to that effect. So, Seth, take heed, man. Get into some old REM. Some of you folks out there who've written them off as a bunch of... late 90s political fruitcakes. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. But go back, man. Athens, Georgia, early 80s, mid 80s, to rock and roll, kicking over the amp, jumping in the air, scissor kick, Rickenbacker slashing, artistic, mumbling rock and roll, soaked in beer, and just kick some ass in some old REM. Me and Rodney brought it to you. I've been talking to some other, Texas music friends of mine, luminaries about doing some similar projects. And everybody's kind of go, oh man, we ought to do this or do this. So kick around a lot of ideas with guys. We'll see how all that comes together and get some more EPs to you in the future, some little fun tribute things. Just new stuff coming out to you. So look forward to that. Well, I was so intrigued. We always talk about Bob Lefsetz and his great newsletter. That he puts out, I subscribe to. Don't always read it, but I was intrigued with this, and he'd seen some recent films he wanted to share with us. Oh, sorry, I got the coffee going here. He talks about this movie he saw, Lefsetz, in one of his recent articles, called The Other F Word. Just the title caught my attention, so I check it out. The Other F Word. It's a movie about being a punk rock dad. Lefsetz saw this, and I went to the website. It looks like it is, kind of hitting the festival circuit. I don't know if it was from last year, if it's coming up here in South by Southwest in March. I didn't read it carefully, but there's a great trailer. You can go to the Other F Word movie.com. And here's the story. It's about, man, like fleas in it from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Art Alexis from Everclear, the Southern rock just tattooed from head to toe, guys covered in piercings. And the movie is about, you know, what happens when these guys who lived for today, who rebelled against their parents, rebelled against authority. Now all these guys are, you know, in their 40s, late 40s, and they're dads themselves, and they're trying to be, you know, they're trying to raise their kids, and they love their kids like everybody else. So it's a documentary about these guys' lives, and they're still going on the road, of course, and playing shows, and it's pretty intriguing. It's a great trailer, and Lefsetz wrote a good little piece on it here, so I'm interested in seeing it. I'll have to check it out when it gets onto Netflix and stuff here. But here's some other things of what Lefsetz had to say that I thought was interesting about it. The story is, they were rebels living in Southern California beach towns. They played punk music, not for tomorrow, but for today. No one even believed there would be a tomorrow. It's just going nuts. And so many punk musicians never did make it. But those who did normalized to a degree. They got married and had kids. And now to support their families, they've got to go on the road hundreds of days a year. Not because they love it, but because they have to pay the bills. Lefsetz goes on. One of the great scenes is when Jim Lindbergh says, "You've got to hold your tongue. You're in some far-flung town, and you've got to be nice to the audience, when really all you're doing is counting the days until you can get back home. You're wasted, you're pissed, using drugs just to get by." And in the trailer, you see these dudes, man. They've kind of, you know, some of them got a little, you know, little less hair. They've got a little chunkier through the years from the kids running around. So it goes on to say, let's see. "Although you're tattooed and pierced, they're just like you." He's talking about his audience. "But maybe worse off. These tend to be blue-collar gentlemen. If they're not playing music, they're working in a print shop, as one ex-member of Black Flag is doing. Sleeping on the road is impossible. First of all, you're in a bus, not with only the band, but the crew. It smells like a locker room. And when you check into a hotel, it's not the Four Seasons, but the Comfort Inn. It's barely habitable, and the food makes you yearn for home cooking." Lefsetz's take on it here is just, it's just got a great, he says he's just never seen a movie where the road is depicted so, you know, real, so tedious, and just how hard the work is out there. Even for the guys you see on the bus and all that, I think that's the biggest thing I notice, when I go see a show now. And I mean, it's kind of ruined it for me in a little bit. Not ruined live music, I'm not saying that, but when I go see some older, you know, some act that I've been seeing for years, there's something to be said when you see them young, when you see them, because they're playing on stage with that reckless abandon, with the idea that we are right now changing the world. Our band is going to achieve everything we set out for. We're on stage tonight to just destroy. There is no tomorrow. And you see the band looking at each other, and they're playing as hard as they possibly can. And you believe it, you know, you just believe as someone in the crowd, like, man, we're part of this. We're part of this movement. This is our band, our music. And it goes on like that for a lot of years. But man, eventually what happens is those that survive, you know, just to survive, you've got to slow down. I mean, you just can't keep up that pace, you know, or the stories are long, are the ones that just never make it. And they get married, and they have kids, and it just kind of changes their purpose. And so when I go see them play, I always enjoy the show. I love hearing the old songs. I love seeing him. He looks great. He sounds great. But there's no denying, man, that once these guys get into their 40s or something, you see them playing as a job in a little bit. I'm not saying that they're doing a bad show or they're not into it. That's not right. But there's just not that same reckless abandon and belief being exhibited on the stage that these guys probably did when they were 25. That's just kind of the facts of it. And I think that's hard to see as a fan, I think. I mean, I guess people go to see the Rolling Stones. Some people just buy into the whole thing. And Willie, and I, you know, those are amazing artists, you know, but I don't know. It's like, as I've been doing it for so long, and, you know, man, I've got family and bills to pay. And so when I look up there, I'm like, man, I wonder what's keeping him up at night, you know. He's on that bus, kind of like Lefsetz's article here in this F-word movie. The other F-word being fatherhood, you know, is what the movie's about. The other F-word, fatherhood. you know, and all you have is the music. There's not the the belief, the purpose, the brotherhood of the band. All these guys are now members of families and leaders of families, and it just changes you, man, and it kind of changes the way you view bands on stage. It does for me anyway. So later on in this article here, I'll continue here that it's all about playing music. You've got to love it, Lefsett says. Otherwise, it's tedious. Not only do you miss out on normal life, taking your kids to school, being there for their birthdays and Halloween, you've got to endure the endless road, arguing with your bandmates, and wasting the 23 hours a day you're not on stage. It's some weird, bizarro world where not only do you not get to do what you want, but most of what you do is positively awful. Now, if you're in your 20s, if you're just out of the house, the road is an adventure, but it gets old real quick. Everyone in music complains that they just can't make money like they used to, that the internet and the public have screwed them. But no matter how much money they pay you, going on the road becomes an endless repetitive tunnel. The only saving grace is the music, and if you're lucky, the money. So, that's kind of how it shakes out, man. Very well said there by Lefsett, and very well demonstrated, it looks like, in this documentary. Very intriguing. The other F word movie, or the movie, .com. Check it out. There's a cool trailer on there. It'll no doubt be, iTunes, Netflix here. I don't know. You know, next couple months or something like that. Flea. Got Tony Hawk's in it. They're talking to him. Southern California punk guys who never thought they'd live this long are all talking about now I have. And, in the trailer, there's a guy he's got like, you know, nasty kind of these two dominatrix women on his arm. He's like, yeah, man, I got these dominatrix women on my arm. I mean, how do I explain that to my 4-year-old? So, you know, the moral of the story maybe is don't get all those visible tattoos, too young. You know, it's, cause you're stamping yourself for life and you have a lot of explaining to do later. I'm glad tattoos weren't in vogue when I was in middle school or high school. I'd have Van Halen just tattooed on my chest. Oh, that wouldn't work well in my current life. Well, you know what, folks? Coming up in our next segment here, our old friend, the podcast's own Nick Verzosa, formerly of John's Guns, who made a record here, done a lot of recording. Nick's done some albums with Walt Wilkins. Man, he's always out there playing, man, clubs and everything. He's a name I see out there a lot. One of the guys who recorded here, 4 or 5 years ago, who is, really been out there, really showing up a lot, playing a lot of shows, and working hard. So it's going to be cool to catch up with old Nicky V here on our next segment. Stay tuned. Verzosa next. Oh, can you feel it in the air, folks? The chill, the briskness, the holidays are upon us, and that can only mean one thing. Hot damn tamales. I'm talking about hot damn tamales right here in Fort Worth, Texas, right over here on Magnolia. You're thinking, Phil, I don't live in Fort Worth. What am I supposed to do? Garbage. HotDamnTamales.com. Their main business is shipping gourmet, unique, homemade, fresh tamales all over the world, man. It's an enterprise they've got going on here. It's incredible. These tamales are big, they are gourmet, and they have some of the wildest, most intriguing, greatest flavors you can imagine. Like, try the beef tenderloin, jalapeno, and beer tamales. How about, you know, they got poblano chicken, the three cheese, barbecue brisket tamales. Fantastic. One of my favorites. Oh, man, they've got the feta mushroom and spinach, I think it is. It's another one of my favorite. They got veggie. They got dessert tamales. They've got beef, pork, chicken, anything you can imagine. Just go to hotdamntamales.com. Look at the wonderful pictures they got on there. You just get a sense of what they're all about. And when you order it online, it's shipped fresh to your door, vacuum sealed, frozen in a styrofoam pack, a custom styrofoam pack. All you do is you take them and poke a few holes in the plastic. They come bundled in little six packs, you know, like six tamales all together. Punch a few holes in that plastic they're wrapped in, steam them up on the stove in a few minutes. They thaw right out beautifully. Top them with a little salsa or chili or whatever you think, and just be in heaven. Also, please, when you make your order, man, right on there, find some way to communicate to them that you heard about it on the P2 podcast. Some of you ask all the time, Phil, how can I support the podcast? I listen to it all the time. You never ask us for money or anything. Hey, if you want to help me out, go to hotdamntamales.com, place an order, and then give them a phone call or send them an email or write something on your order that says, heard about it on the podcast, big fan of Phil Pritchett, He told me he loves Hot Dan Follies, and that's why I'm coming to you. Help me out, fans, by helping yourself, setting your taste buds free with, as anything we do here at Trinidad, only the finest, most unique gourmet music and gourmet tamales, man. I'm a believer in Hot Damn Tamales. My friend Constantine and his family over there doing it so well, better than anyone else out there, man, in Fort Worth and online. HotDamnTamales.com.
I changed the locks on my front door so you can't come in anymore. So you can't walk inside my house. So you can't lie upon my couch. I changed the locks on my front door. I changed the kind of car I drive so you won't see me rolling by. So you
fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Broadcasting in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it. How you doing, everybody? Phil here. Remember, the new EP is out. Phil Pritchett and Rodney Parker, a Trinidad tribute to R.E.M. You can get it on CD, baby, or very soon on iTunes. Go to iTunes. It's probably already there by now, by the time you hear this broadcast. Check out iTunes. 5 tunes, $5. And expand your knowledge of great rock and roll by saying you have downloaded this EP. Show your friends and impress them with your knowledge of alternative 80s rock and the Texas music guys that bring it to you. Well, 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 who do we have here today? A rapping at my chamber door, the podcast's own Nick Verzosa is here. Welcome, Nick. Good to see you again, man.
Absolutely, man. Missed you.
It was years ago, a young band by the name of John's Guns out of College Station rolled in here. Stumbling, bumping into all my mics,
yeah,
you know, clapping in a singing background, vocals, and recutting the drum tracks, feeling our way through the record in here in the big room next door.
Absolutely, yeah.
Y'all were in this building. Y'all were one of the first
in this
guys,
building.
And we started your record at the old place.
That's right.
In the garage.
In the cement block, man.
That's right.
By the train tracks.
That was my temporary studio. Yeah, the train would go by. We stopped recording. Like when the train go right by, we're talking like a foot from the building.
Yeah,
like
right outside.
Just a roaring freight. we still pick up the trains a little bit here occasionally, but it's all in good taste, I say. You're going to want to hear that train in the background, I'm telling you.
Hey, it made the track.
I know it, man.
Made one of the tracks.
Well, I got to say, man, that was what? When was that done? 5 years ago?
07, 08, something like
yeah.
that. 07, maybe.
And you guys were a young band starting out. And I got to say, around that time, I had a lot of young bands coming in, guys mm-hmm. like yourself. And, man, the vast majority of them, I think it's safe to say, have moved on, you know. Pissed away their life and gone to law school or something.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
doctors
just that's right. Just
a time.
Just chucking away their whole future by going to be a doctor or something. So it's thrilled me over the last several years to just check my email, my Facebook, and all. I mean, who's out there just getting the update tweets and texts from Nick Verzosa, who's technically, I guess, gone solo. And man, you've hit it hard there the last 4 or 5 years, playing a ton.
A lot. As much as we can, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't always seem to be doing anything, but when you think about going back to those John's Guns days, man, whenever we were in here cutting that.
Yeah.
Gosh, you know, we never really played outside of College Station at that point.
Right.
And now we're all over the map, so I guess from that perspective, I have been growing quite a bit, I guess, you know. And
writing a lot of songs. You've done a couple projects with Walt Wilkins.
Yeah.
And you did an EP when you were in here, I guess, about a year or so ago. You had an EP.
That's right.
And now you've got the new record out.
New record.
Full
out.
Album.
Full album for once, finally, you know.
That's great, man.
11 tracks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems as though every time I put one out, I'm kind of raring to get another one out again, you know. So
yeah.
Catalog is big, and I'm just writing all the time, and only so many fit, you know,
yeah,
into,
that's right.
Well, really my recording budget than
yeah.
anything else.
Well, man, are you doing most of it? Man, are you doing like your own booking and stuff? And,
yeah.
And mostly, you know, just
oh,
sort
dude,
of
following the Phil Pritchett, you know, modus of.
Of course, I shot you a text last week. Hey, man, who's the guy at the Armadillo Palace?
Hey,
what's his name again?
anything I can do for fellow, you know, fiercely independent artists.
Well, hey, fiercely independent. Well, I've talked about it on the show here many times, but you know the landscape is is changing out there. I mean, the guys, you know, my age, I hung out with, you know, Jack Ingram last week in Corpus, and I see Pat Green around town a lot. And we all kind of, it was very open about just how it does change. You get a little older, and, you know, a lot of us are playing the same rooms we've played forever, or mm-hmm. gone back to some smaller places, and, or what, you know, we're just playing for a living and having fun with it, but, that it is a changing deal. And I do find myself, you know, looking around for dates. There's a lot of bands out there, but you get used to playing, gosh, a lot of places. We're talking about Woody's, you know, not, mm-hmm. not having music anymore. And, you know, some places you get used to playing, you don't have to work very hard for dates.
Right.
Close down, or right. Some new owner buys the place, and all of a sudden it's like, dude, we used to play there five times a year. Now, you know, they're doing all cover bands or something.
Right.
It's kind of like, well, geez.
Moving you out a little bit. And
yeah. Do you ever play the Cypress Saloon down there?
Cutting your pay about 100 or 200
yeah,
bucks,
that's right.
You know, I mean.
Man, like 1 week we lost a Cypress Saloon,
right.
which I think they still have bands, but maybe like local or cover. Like they don't bring in the, because we did really good there for a while.
We got to play there once.
Yeah.
And it was an opening gig for Chris Knight.
Yeah.
But it was slow. Mm-hmm. And I kind of saw it as, you know, it was difficult to get a hold of them and stuff. So some of those places,
and they had someone take it over.
Difficult,
it does,
to get a hold of them, and then you kind of realize they might be moving away from the music and stuff.
So. Man, and the early guy, God, what's his name? Just shot out of my head. But the old Mike, the old sound guy, he booked it, and he'd seen us around the Sidecar Pub days way back, and mm-hmm. so he was bringing us in there, and it was Mike Troutman, and man, he had us in there. We had good dates and great crowds. He promoted it real well. And then they let him go, man. It was just, and so they booked us a few more times. And then I went in there one fateful day, and they had put in the all glossy wood dance floor in front of the stage.
No.
And I was like, I just put my arms around the band guys and said, "Take a good look around, fellas. Our days here are numbered." Like, what do you mean? I'm like, they're expecting a little two-stepping and hoedown to start happening in here. They're going in a different direction. So what? Shortly after that, they're like, "Hey, man, we just don't do like out of town bands anymore."
Oh,
you know,
of course. Yeah.
And Loughran's Pub up here in Frisco, we had a couple of great gigs there, a little Irish place, just gone. Yeah, so, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, you think, oh, it's just one place, but, you know, you start adding them up, and it's tough to stay working out there. But you've done a real good job of keeping the schedule full, it looks like.
Hopefully, man. You know, I've even in my young career, man, it's the same kind of deal. It feels as though you're retracting a little bit, regressing a little bit, playing some of the places where you said, okay, we've outgrown this place. We don't
right.
have to play for, you know, 250, 300 anymore and that kind of thing. But
right.
it gets to the point to where you got to have some of those filler dates.
Yeah.
And you go back and you got to play that 4-hour set, you know?
Yeah.
My goodness. You
at
just
the elephant,
break out all the, break out all the cover songs that you used to play,
yeah.
you know? And try to keep your integrity.
Play your big songs in the first set. Like, we don't even play them at the end of the night, too.
Exactly.
And no one won't be the same people
exactly.
in here.
Exactly.
So how old are you, Nick, if you don't mind my asking?
28.
28 years
29
old.
29 in a little bit.
All right.
A couple years. Couple months.
Engaged, I hear.
Engaged.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now you've got to really make this thing work.
I know.
Oh,
the pressure's
gosh.
On, right?
I mean, oh, my gosh.
I was thinking about it. There was a lot of pressure there from the beginning. And
yeah.
Well, she's still in school. She's getting her master's and hopefully PhD. And
that'll save your ass.
Exactly. When she came to me and she said, "Honey, I'm thinking about doing
what's the best thing I do for my music career? Marry a doctor, please. Someone who puts in long hours and makes good money. And you can pursue your songwriting dreams.
Stay in school.
That's
honey.
Right. Just forever. Keep it rolling. Well, man, let me ask you a question. I'm curious on your answer to this. You know, hang around with Jack and Pat. You know, we all got going in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were still bands like
yeah.
the old 97s. I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody around here that you went, holy cow, they packed out the Barley House. They packed out, you know, the Granada Theater, and then they get signed.
Yeah.
And then they're in Rolling Stone. Like, you know, and you did, your goal was, man, us to, you know, or Jack, you know, Jack had a deal, you know, early on. And so that was, I'm not saying that's why we did it, but there was some ultimate goal, maybe like,
absolutely.
Hey man, maybe we could get signed or maybe we can get a big deal. My friend Wes Cunningham had a big deal with Warner Brothers. Like there were guys around who, that happened for,
mm-hmm.
But you being, you know, a decade younger than me or so, you know, you're not going to know anybody 28, 30 years old who've gone off to sign some huge record deal, probably.
No.
So what keeps you going? That may sound like a funny question. I'm not saying that the only reason I did it was to sign a big deal, but you're out there playing bars, putting out your own records, and you're on iTunes. But don't you kind of go, man, that's all I'm ever going to do. Right. You just try to do it better? What drives you?
Well, you know, I think that there's other opportunities out there, and it seems like, well, I don't know how other guys my age think.
Yeah,
I think I'm kind of,
what do you think?
I think I'm on a different wavelength thinking this, because there's still guys out there that think that they're going to
go to Nashville and get a big deal. Right,
exactly.
Sure. And that you might hear about one or two guys that do, but
right. Me, ultimately, I'd like to just kind of like make my revenue streams spread out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The writing is really what I got into it for in the first place, and I dig writing, and even that is kind of thinning out as far as staff positions and stuff like that. That stinks. You
publishing
know?
Deals done, you know? And all. It kind of is,
but
you know.
There's different things, and from my perspective, I don't see why after a while I couldn't have some sort of small pub deal. You know, hey, it won't be in the six figures, but it'll, you know, a couple thousand bucks or so to kind of, you know,
contribute.
Supplement,
yeah, right, right.
The touring year,
right,
and that helps, pay for the expenses of travel and good musicians, mm-hmm. and new records and everything like that. And it's just small business at this point.
You run it like a small – I mean, is you're thinking like, hey, man, as long as I can grow my business and that's my living, that's my line of work, that's cool with me.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
You know, I mean, from me looking at your career as it is, you're always going to have a certain number of fans that are going to be your fans forever, you know? There's P2 fans that are going to be around – and it doesn't matter what you put out.
Some of them have grandchildren now.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? You know, as long as you're doing what you do,
you got
people that are going to buy your product. And then hopefully along the way, as you continue to play, you'll build up that.
Book me to play their third wedding.
Sure.
That kind of thing.
Sure. But you know, there's always somebody to buy what you're pitching.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
So I feel like as long as you continue to do it and. You know,
and there's
you're
more, and I think you're in an era. We talk about it on the show about there is so many music, and there's so much, but there's lower barriers, financial barriers of entry to make a record, to get it on iTunes,
absolutely.
You know, and as long, you know, on one way, you end up with so many records and so many bands. That's absolutely true. But the good part is, you know, back in kind of the major label era, you couldn't even dream of playing your own music and making a decent living unless you had a deal or something like that. I mean, otherwise it was just like, well, you know, you're not even like a real, you know, what are you going to put your tapes in the mall or something for people to buy? How are people going to get your music? You know, you couldn't just go out traveling the country with if you weren't on the radio. I mean, you just couldn't do that. People wouldn't show up. So there are ways to that you are pursuing, and all, you know, young guys your age need to take heart and take advantage of that you seem to be doing.
Well, hopefully so. You know, I mean, for me at this point, that's what I'm looking at. I'm not going to bank on, basically somebody coming along and saying, hey, young kid, I really enjoy what you're doing. Let me invest a couple $100,000 into your career and pay for you to have a publicist and promoters and everybody like that to blow you up to the point to where, well, let's be honest, the public knows who I am.
Right, right.
Because that's what it takes to do that.
Sure.
I can't just – it doesn't matter. Talent doesn't mean jack, you know. There's a ton of talented people out there that nobody knows anything about because they don't have the money to promote themselves correctly.
Right.
You know, at that point, it just becomes the music business. Mm-hmm. And you can either be bitter and fight it, or you can just say, hey, they do what they do. I don't have that at my resource, so I'm going to do what I do and trust that the people that dig what I do are going to stick around and then pass it on and do it grassroots style. And I
just
think
grow that little core of people.
Right.
You know?
And those people stick around, I think. I think those people have opportunities 20 years from now that the kid that has, you know, $500,000 in the bank to throw it at the new and best technology, and for somebody to write their songs, and for to pay for the best band, and for to pay for the best publicists and things of that nature.
Sure.
They, you know, if they don't work their craft, nobody at a certain level, the people that are at a certain level that they have to eclipse in order to become that artist that is set for life, they're not going to respect them, you know, because they haven't done their just due towards their craft. And you can tell because you listen to the records and you go, well, they spent a whole bunch of money on it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But well, you know, and you gotta, something I found too is just your fans, things can get, you know, maybe your fans as they get older, they quit coming to your gigs at the White Elephant or something because they get married and stuff. But those guys and those gals, those folks, they do grow up and they have, you know, they get married and they have kids and they run businesses. Mm-hmm. And some of them become, you know, decision makers on some other front that maybe you couldn't foresee.
Yeah.
The older I've gotten, I've got, you know, just some of these guys I knew in Nashville 10 years ago. Well, we were all like 30 years old and everybody was just working in the mailroom. Well, now you hear that, you know, my friend Jordan Powell is Miranda Lambert's road manager, you know, and I don't know. There's all kinds of stories like that. I mean, some guy you knew that, oh, what's he doing now? Man, he's running the legal division at Warner Brothers, or he's running, like, people move up and you stay in touch with these guys over the years. And, you know, maybe that, you know, the older you get, you know, that some of those fans, you know, your fans want to see your career do well as an artist, but you, the artist, you also want to see your fans' careers do well, you know?
Just, yeah, absolutely.
Man, how do you plan this huge, you know, Christmas private party for this company? Just, well, the CEO's a big fan of mine, you know, he went to A&M and, you know, now he's 45 years old, and you're the first guy we called. I mean, some stuff like that comes to you after a while. You're like, God, I wouldn't have ever dreamed I'd have been playing here and doing this kind of thing. But those end up being some nice projects to, you know, gigs that maybe come your way from a source that you didn't really see as, you know, something you're building early on.
I think that only happens.
So fans, get big out there, man. Exactly. Work your way up the corporate ladder.
Help us out.
Let's get Phil to play at the Christmas party, man. Who else do we need?
You know, I think that's something that only happens to guys that are on that level with their fans also, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't have that, I guess, you know, that mystical wall in between themselves and the fan provided by a label or something like that blocks people off from that kind of connection. Calling them up, you know, I mean, most of the people that are really big fans of mine have my phone number.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
They can call me for anything.
Yeah.
Whether it's a private party or just,
they know, hey, they know you'll respond or text. Like, hey, man, great. You know, see there.
Absolutely.
Well, Nick Verzosa has stopped by, the podcast's own Nick Verzosa. Man, maybe he'll stay here next week, continue our conversation about playing music, independent music in the modern day. Thanks for stopping by, Nick.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week, man.
We'll see you
next week.
All right.
Well, folks, that's all we have for you here this week. All we have, that's so much to digest. Spend the next week digesting what you've heard on the show this week. Go download the REM EP, 5 songs from me and Rodney Parker, on iTunes. $5. Great songs. Man, it came out sounding good. Had a great time with it. More stuff coming your way, of course, here in this next year. The live album in Corpus Christi and a new Phil Pritchett and the full band record. And maybe the soundtrack from this movie I've been working on. I don't know. You're going to be so underwater with Pritchett music in the 2012. You're not going to know what to do with yourself. Well, have a great week, folks. Great week, folks. My thanks to Nick Verzosa for stopping by.
Oh, yeah.
We will see you next week on the podcast. Take care out there. Much tougher.
So you won't know me when I'm there, so you can't tell me.